I think the cool thing is the muscle is so plastic, so it's so adaptive. It doesn't really matter how old you are. Of course, it matters from the perspective how you feel, right? So if you get older, you generally feel less energized, etc. But if you purely look at it from a muscle perspective, if you just give the stress, if you just impose the stress on the muscle by going to the gym, you will adapt. And this is beneficial if you look at it from the perspective of training. So if you go to the gym and if you try to get yourself motivated and disciplined to really go to the gym and try to improve your body. It doesn't matter what age you are.
Hi, Cass. Welcome to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks for having me here. So my name is Cass Fuchs. I'm from Maastricht University. I'm a scientist and a teacher here. And I'm doing a lot of research in the area of muscle physiology. So looking at the recovery strategies, for example, such as nutrition or like other things like ice baths, eating, etc. But also just general interest for me is like just, you know, how does the muscle respond to exercise? So resistance exercise, for example. That's also what we will talk about mostly today, just from that perspective. Yeah, how does basically what happens to our body when we do things like resistance exercise, and what is changing essentially?
Awesome. I have so many questions about all the topics you mentioned, but I will try to stay on the topic. And the topic of today's show is a paper, a very interesting one, about a powerlifter who is age 71 years and is a female. So the paper is called Becoming a World Champion Powerlifter at 71 years of age. It is never too late to start exercising. So that's what we will be talking about. And I think you should start with why. Why have you written this paper and how did it come about? Because I suspect there's a story.
Yeah, true. So actually it started, so my professor from department, he gave a lecture. I think it was based on that he got in touch with Ina. So we have been interested already for like years, basically when we started here, just to see like, okay, not just young people, but also older people, basically all types of people, to see like what's the effect of exercise on the human body. Ina was also interested in that talk because she also wanted to know like, hey, I'm actually one of those people that is like at a certain age and I am so fit. I feel fit. I can lift heavy weights. I want to know like from a scientific point of view, how is my body compared to other people? And that's obviously what we find very interesting as well. So, you know, it's really cool to have people that are already at a certain age that are still like lifting very heavy weights and that are very fit. So that's basically how it all started. And then we invited Ina to come over and do like a whole battery of tests on her, and we are able to compare those results to people, or like let's say older females that we tested previously in the lab, and also some of the measurements that we could test or compared to previously published literature, so data collected in other labs, just to see like, okay, where is she actually at if you compare her to other females. And what I think was the really interesting thing as well about Ina is not that she was at the time 71 years of age, she also just started resistance exercise when she was already 63 years of age. So not something, she wasn't do this for her whole life. So it's really cool to see, okay, she already started, let's say, at a relatively late age, if you can say it like that. And just to see like, okay, what happened in those years and how is she now compared to this group people?
Okay, so what test did you do and what did you measure?
So we did like a whole battery of tests. So it was like a lot of body composition measurements. So we did MRI scanning, CT scanning, DEXA scanning, and we did a lot of strength tests. So on a Biodex machine, also just like one RM testing more on her. We took a muscle biopsy as well, just to see like how does her muscle fibers, so her muscle cells basically look like, and how did they compare to other people. We did some function tests. We did like some metabolic tests. So for example, an OGTT, basically like a lot of like all things we could kind of put together in like 2 days that she was over, tried to measure all of these just to have like a very good physiological profile of her, which we could compare to other people. So we even did like, for example, a view to max test on her, even though that was just not her primary purpose with her type of training, but still we tried to measure as much as we could in those 2 days to really get like a clear picture of how she looks like and to be able to compare her.
Okay, awesome. So basically you wanted to see how Ina is built inside and how it possibly influences her performance.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, you know, strength measurements, we can compare what she kind of lifts or officially, which is recorded, compared to what we know from literature. But yeah, an MRI scan is really expensive. You need like certain expertise to really get those data. So all these measurements, just as an example, the MRI scan, but also goes for the other ones, such as the biopsy, for example, you normally don't get those data. So that was really interesting to, exactly as you said, also look from the inside. Yeah, I think the next step is to look into the result.
Awesome, I'm excited. Let's go.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so as I said, we measured a lot of things. So just from like already the MRI scan, you can get a lot of data out there. But just in short, and I think it's what we did in the paper as well, we have like a nice table where you can clearly see her data compared to the reference group and also figure. So I think for the people that are really interested, it's nice to just look into the paper. And if it's too technical, you don't necessarily have to read it. You can just go to the table and the figures to just, you know, see where she is compared to the others. But just in short already, some interesting findings. I think if when we looked at her muscle mass measurements, you could see that she was already was between 30 to 50% better if you compare her data compared to a reference control group. So basically age matched females that were from the same age as she is. And in strength, it was even also went from 30 to some measurements even over 100% better.
Wow.
So you can really see that she was really, you know, much stronger, but also in terms of her muscle mass, obviously that's always like a correlation between the two, and that you see that, you know, that the muscle much better. Also in terms of fat mass, we could see that she was actually much lower compared to reference groups. That's also from a metabolic perspective. She was much better profile. So think about, for example, liver fat or like a fat that's kind of in the muscles or just general visceral and adipose fat. That was all much lower compared to female control participants. So overall, basically from all these things that we know, like either from a health perspective, but also from like a performance perspective, she was doing much better, which is also makes sense because she's, you know, performing at the highest level at her age category. She's even world champion powerlifting. So yeah, it should be the case, but it's then still also nice that you can really see in her body that indeed there is a lot of things in her body that are very, very metabolically, very healthy, and also from a performance perspective are really helping. Also, if you look at the muscle type fibers, for example, also related to muscle mass, we saw that her type 2 muscle fibers specifically were at a very good level. And what I mean with that is we typically see when people age, so men or females, you know, when we age, generally speaking, at the demographic, if we look at the demographics, we see that the type 2 muscle fibers specifically are reduced. So they get smaller as we age. And, you know, when we look at her data, they were, first of all, those specific type 2 muscle fibers, which are then relevant for things like powerlifting, they were much higher, at least in terms of size, compared to the female reference group. But also, if we look into the literature, they were kind of compared to young females. So it was really interesting to see that really didn't really show like much of a decline compared to young people, at least when we compared to literature, but also was much better than her age match or her peers, essentially. So all these measurements were like, much better compared to her peers, which was nice to see.
VO2 max?
VO2 max, it was 30 by heart. I mean, if you compare this to like, a young trained endurance trained person, it doesn't sound much, but if you compare it to her peers, back to the literature, I think it was 15. So if you look at her age matched control participants, we didn't have data from participants that we tested previously. Based on literature, is actually quite good. So even that was quite interesting to show, because, you know, she was mostly focusing on kind of resistance type exercise training. So in that sense, you see that she generally performed also quite well in that sense. Also with her peak power output, it was also much better. I think it was 150 watts compared to 75 if you compare into literature, which you could expect in her age category as a female. So that was also much better.
That's amazing. Were there any measurements where she didn't score that well?
Yeah, when we looked at her OGTT, so that is the oral glucose tolerance test, her glucose level was not necessarily as low or as maybe normal as you would expect. So, but it was also not really, let's say, alarming or something, but that was slightly on the higher end, at least the glucose levels. So yeah, it was not really something that I would say, okay, there's something wrong here, but it's, I would expect that to also be a bit lower than it was. But I mean, it could also be, of course, as with everything, just due to a lot of factors. It could be even genetically, you never really know that stuff. Would be nice to maybe test that once more and see if that's improving over time or not. But yeah, that was the only thing that I can think of that was I would let's say expect that to maybe a little bit lower. The rest wasn't. So we didn't measure, for example, bench press or like squats or deadlifts, because she has officially recorded results. Even those, when we compared her official results to the literature, she was performing better than what we found previously published data in like resistance strength young females. And with young, I mean like I think the average age is 25 years. So that was also quite interesting. And it's funny because there are some television programs, at least here in the Netherlands, that made like a little bit of fun out of this, because they put her, for example, on the streets, and then they as like, you know, as like a granny, what they say, and then you have like young females to come by and lift that weight, which they can't, but then she lifts it up and they're like, whoa, what's happening here? It's one of those, which is sometimes also see those kind of pranks on social media, right? When an older person is actually very strong, does these kind of things. We also did like a short physical performance battery. So basically that's like just to see, you know, generally in like normal healthy people from at least young middle aged, you always get like the max score. Basically that's like a score where that's where you see how your walking speed and how fast can you get up from a chair. So quite easy things for like healthy people to do. And you always get like a maximum score, but just if you get older with, well, let's say frail or older people, we generally see that they cannot do this that well anymore, which also makes sense. You know, if you look at an elderly residents, for example, people have like difficulties to get out of a chair and walking speed is quite slow. But obviously, yeah, that we also measure, but that was max score with her as well. And maybe one more thing that's also interesting too, from just, you know, because people don't read these things in the article, but when she came to the university, it was really funny. She came here and she was walking really fast, like really vital and healthy. And there was also like an older person walking next to her with like a stick, you know, it was like, I think, more difficult. So it's kind of funny that you could really see how, you know, how vital she looks. And also with her, with, you know, when you talk to her, like very, very vital and healthy, at least from perspective that you can just see. So these things are really fun to see, that these kind of things.
All right. So this is Ina. Now, if you would have to extrapolate into the whole population, could we say that strength training or resistance training is good for older adults or adults at any age for sustaining good health, metabolic health and performance, functional performance, or one example is not enough to say that?
Well, yes. So we can say that. And that's also based on other studies. So we now know, also from colleagues of mine, for example, they find that even if you start resistance exercise like a very old, so maybe over 80 years of age, we still see insane. But yeah, I mean, I think for some people it's insane, which you see what they can still improve. So they can still gain, you know, in terms of percentage, just similar amounts of muscle mass compared to young people. Yeah. I think the cool thing is, I mean, the muscle is so plastic, so it's so adaptive. It doesn't really matter how old you are. Of course, it matters from the perspective how you feel, right? So if you get older, you generally feel less energized, etc. That could also be some due to some hormonal changes. But if you purely look at it from a muscle perspective, if you just give the stress, if you just impose the stress on the muscle by going to the gym, you will adapt. And this is beneficial if you look at it from the perspective of training. So if you go to the gym and if you try to get yourself motivated and disciplined to really go to the gym and try to improve your body, it doesn't matter what age you are. Of course, having said that, you know, if someone has certain diseases or something, you may need to check what's possible. But generally speaking, if you just are an older person and otherwise healthy, you can get really fit by just going to the gym. The downside, again, is with the plasticity of the muscle. If you are injured or ill, also your muscle will decondition quite fast. But that we also see in young people. So it doesn't really matter. So if you have to lay in bed because you're ill or injured, whatever, you will, you know, have quite quickly some negative effects on your muscle. But again, if you go to the gym, if you try to keep yourself healthy, it does not matter what age you have, you can get very fit. You can get a lot of muscle mass. You can lose fat. You can get stronger. And all these things will, at the end, lead to you being able to live independently, for example. And that's, of course, what I guess we all want if we get older, that we can do our own things and keep doing our own things until we are not here anymore. So yeah, I think that's a strong message. And it's not, I mean, I focus a lot on the muscle, but it's not just the muscle. It even goes towards your brain. I mean, from a cognition perspective, we also know if you keep fit, you will also keep your brain in that sense healthy, and you can live, you have a much higher quality of life for much longer if you compare that to if you wouldn't be active and go to the gym. So yeah, I think that's really, we need to know this and try to get our people active and try to make sure that they will keep moving. And if they try to get them even to the gym, I would say that their muscles keep strong. That's very important.
Okay, so huge portion of my audience are coaches, or weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting coaches specifically, but powerlifting coaches too. So would you have any advice for the coaches who will meet maybe older athletes who never trained, resistant trained before? Would you have any advice how to start them safely and how to progress them?
My advice would be first of all, the older people need to get, especially if they have no experience, I think they need to see that it's actually fun. So something fun to do. So that's also to come back to what we, I think, generally say all the time. It should be a little bit individualized. So make sure that, okay, what do these people want to get out of the training? What's their goal? And really try to focus on that and make it fun for them to do. And I think the more experienced coaches will probably know this. So they know how to kind of motivate people and how to get them enthusiastic for coming to the gym. Because, if you just say, here is a standard program and just do this, then I think many of the people, and this actually goes for young people as well, they will lose interest. And also try to tell them, okay, what are the benefits that you may not directly see yourself in the mirror, but focus on the things that they understand why it's so important for them. And I think strength is in that sense an interesting one, because strength gains you can quite quickly see compared to things in the mirror. So if you focus on those and maybe try to make it as a bit of a fun game for people, then at least the motivation should be improved, because I think that's generally the biggest problem, that people don't have the motivation to do it, or maybe not discipline to keep going to the gym. And if possible, individualize it to really make sure that they, they seek results, and they also see that they will be taken seriously. Instead of, here is a program, go to the gym between all those other young people, for example, and figure it out. I think they need some extra focus on it, or like focus specifically on them, that they will be taken seriously and that they also see some improvements. So if, for example, an older individual comes to you as a personal trainer and says, like, hey, I want to improve my general health, or I want to improve, get more muscle strength, be able, do my daily activities, I think that's also an important thing, to focus on those legs, specifically the thigh muscles. Maybe in an easy way with do leg presses or leg extensions, to really get those muscles strong, that they already, from like a general daily living perspective, get those muscles stronger so they can actually do what they want again. So I think those are important aspects to, if you really compare young with older individuals, to focus on those muscles. And I think with young people, it's often the case. They just want to look, especially like younger guys at their early 20s, they want to look good on the beach. That's obviously mostly upper body exercises that they want to go for. Not saying that they should. They should also train everything. But I think you get the point with older people. If you really compare what they want and what they need, then I think the legs are actually quite important, because it can be what I just explained, that they lose a lot of muscle mass there.
That's very interesting, because the amount of muscles, thigh muscles, is correlated with weightlifting performance too. So Olympic weightlifting performance. So they are important. And maybe that's for weightlifting coaches, that are good news, because they actually have something special to offer, because weightlifting can be good in developing these muscles, as powerlifting will be, and personal training in general, if well targeted, will be too. Would you have any points on recovery in older adults? Is it any different than in young people?
I think definitely also at the start, of course, if you're used to this kind of, again, for young and older individuals, you can get a lot of muscle soreness. And maybe that's a good point that you raise here, because many people think if you go to the gym and you have this muscle pain, that's something, oh, I have pain and it's not good, so they stop. I think it's also important to tell them, okay, you get muscle soreness, which is actually perfect, because it will help you to recover. So just let them, get through that muscle soreness. And we know everyone that goes to the gym knows, after a certain time, you don't really feel this anymore, unless you do like a completely new exercise all of a sudden, or you do it much more intense, a certain exercise, and you will feel some soreness, but it will, you will recover from that much faster. And I think definitely also with older individuals, they will probably not realize this, that the muscle soreness is actually a good thing for your recovery. And just from recovery perspective, what should you do? I think it's also, just with young people, it's very important that the older individuals realize, okay, if you go to the gym, you need a certain amount of recovery. You need to, look at your nutrition. You need to get enough rest to really make sure that your muscles are recovered well. And also don't go too fast. So just, and take your time of recovery before you come back to the gym again and before you train and before you slowly start to progress things. I wouldn't say there's necessarily, at least for the healthy population, additional thing that they should necessarily do. I think it's important to just get enough things like protein in your diet, but also everything like a normal, healthy, well-balanced diet to just optimize your recovery. And of course, yeah, rest. But this is basically also for young and older individuals important. And with all the strategies these days that people have, or all the different supplements, yeah, that's or either not even working, or it's just like very minor details that probably, or at least, you know, most people don't even see those potential added benefits.
Would you be able to explain why the soreness is a good thing?
Yeah, so it's like what you do essentially is you go to the gym and you expose your muscles to like a stress that are at that point are not really used to. So you basically get some damage in the muscle, and that damage needs to be recovered. And also, apart from a recovery perspective, what your body tries to do is it tries to make your muscles stronger as well. So again, you go to the gym, you lift weights, your muscle fibers. So basically what you have, your muscle cells, they do this. That's also why we can contract our muscle. This is all these protein structures that continuously contract. And you basically, by doing this at a very strong load, you kind of disrupt some. So you make some damage there that needs to be repaired. Now, of course, for reparation, you need to have time, because your muscle needs time to repair it again. And you need a good diet. For example, you need a sufficient protein in your diet to give the building blocks to repair your protein in your muscle. So, and that actually is going to help you to repair it. And the great thing about the body, and why I find it amongst others so fascinating, is that your body can basically do this yourself. You at least don't, you know, if my house is or like my car is damaged, I need to have someone to repair it. But our body is able to do it all ourselves, and that's so fascinating. But yeah, what you do need to, if it's okay, time and a good diet to kind of repair those things again. And the best thing is, again, as I said also as well a bit at the start, is it doesn't just recover, it actually tries to make it a little bit stronger. So it tries to add a little bit more of these proteins. That's also why we see over time that people get more muscle mass, to make that structure even stronger. And specifically related to the soreness, that's that you experience that at the start, because you damage that tissue, there will be some inflammation, and you will also trigger some pain receptors that are in that area that go to your brain and tell, hey, this area is a bit painful. That's the soreness that you feel. That's also why you automatically kind of immobilize that a little bit, because it's not really nice if you walk there. So it kind of gives your body time to recover it. And you try to kind of automatically immobilize that a little bit to make sure that it gets time to recover and adapt, again, from a perspective of actually getting stronger and getting more muscle mass.
Awesome. Okay, so doing the study with Ina, what is the thing, maybe one or two, you have learned and when will take to your work or to your lectures into the future?
Good point, because I'm at the moment making a lecture about aging. So I indeed really want to have Ina's example at the end to really show, okay, we have aging, of course, that's inevitable, we all age. And, you know, from a positive perspective, it's good that we age, because at least we get older and we, you know, we can do things in this life. But I think the really good thing is, I mean, if you look at the demographics, people that are like, you know, on the streets, generally, people walk just more difficultly. They just, you know, have some physical disability. It's not necessary. We can really, you know, make sure that we keep strong during the life, that we keep being independent. And I think, you know, we kind of, at least from like some years when I'm in this research, I kind of know that this is the case. Many people still don't, but it's just good to have the direct evidence and have just the examples there that can really show you that this is the case. If you go to the gym and if you look at the data of someone that we can really test that actually does this repeatedly every week, you can really see, yes, these people have more muscle mass. We can measure it. They have more muscle strength. We can see that. We can also measure this. But you really have these examples for people like, hey, indeed, there is, it's not this young guy in his early 30s that is telling this to students. No, we have actually a person that is at a certain age that shows it to us. It's a right, like a real example. And I think that's really important to have that and to kind of use this with the message that we can have Ina as an example for this message.
That's awesome.
And I think this platform, like Evidence Strong, is also interesting and relevant for this to really get people more, you know, aware of these things that we, you know, at some point, hopefully we all know, and we also will work towards it to make sure that we do keep our body really fit. So again, as the main message, we can do so much to our body by just try to, you know, get it, keep it active. And yeah, we should really focus on that. It's really important for our own health and for our own benefit.
Thank you. That's a great message. And last two questions, they are quick. The first one is, what is your favorite color?
Favorite color. color. When I was young, I was always green. And now I would say I don't necessarily have a favorite color. Generally, when I look at my clothing, I like to wear just like black or white. It's like quite simple, but I kind of like those colors. But yeah, actually, if I, you know, every color for whatever it is, if I look outside, you know, very green grass, for example, I can enjoy that, especially if the sun is out. But then also the blue sky. So basically all colors I in some ways I kind of like these days at least. But it's, so it probably depends on for what, for my clothing or for what I, you know, when I see outside. I can enjoy, I think just in general, having a lot of colors, that's nice. And that's, yeah, in some way, maybe even motivating. Just, you know, if you have like a lot of colors and like cool colors to help me being happy, let's say, during the day.
Awesome. So you have practical approach to colors. If they are useful and keep you happy, all of them are good. Okay, the last question is where people can find you on the internet if they want to connect or see what you're up to in your research.
Yeah, so I think if from social media, so we have Twitter or X these days, that's just my first name, so C-A-S, so Cass, and then underscore Fuchs, which is my surname, which is F-U-C-H-S. And on Instagram, it's also the same name, so without the underscore, it's just Cass Fuchs, so C-A-S, F-U-C-H-S, and you can find me. You can also, from my email, it's like cass.fuchs@maastrichtuniversity.nl. And we also have a website from a research group, which is, if you Google it, it's M3, so just the M and the letter 3, and then research. And then you can also find our website, or you can also find me, you can also find the research that we're doing. So these are some ways by which you can find me or the research from the group that I'm working in, what we're doing.
What the M3 stands for?
It stands for muscle metabolism mastery. So 3 M's essentially.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cass. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a big pleasure for me as well. Thanks for having me on.